Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me?
Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead thee. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
And I will praise you with the choir, O God of my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?
O Lord, for I shall again praise you, my salvation and my God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with human hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said, "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you just love our great high priest? And I'm not being facetious here or anything. We really, truly should love our high priest, because I'm talking, of course, of Jesus. The last high priest who ever needed to exist, the man who is God, who is still our high priest even now, and the reason that we should love him is simple. Because instead of having us offer our own blood, or even having us offer the blood of a goat or a calf or a lamb, he instead offered his own blood. And maybe before we really get into how big of a deal that is, we should talk a little bit about the earthly temple and the series of high priests that came before Jesus. The earthly temple was, of course, built in Jerusalem, but it was based off of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was given to Moses directly by God. God actually told Moses exactly how many cubits long and wide it was supposed to be. He told him exactly what it was supposed to look like. And sort of the idea actually with it is, and this is what the Jews truly believe, is that they believe that the tabernacle and the temple is laid out as an image or as a kind of copy of the temple of God in heaven. And so it was a big deal for them. And if you picture this tabernacle and the temple, you can almost sort of imagine it using our building, at least as far as our purposes for today is concerned. So if you think about where the pews are right now, that would be what the Jews would have called the holy place. In that place, there would have been some candelabras, there would have been a couple of altars, there would have been incense. It would have been the place where the priests did kind of their everyday regular duties. So the daily sacrifices would have been done here, which means also that there would have been a lot of blood in that area. But that was all over here. If you think about the most holy place, that would have been up here in the chancel. And dividing the holy place from the most holy place was, of course, that huge curtain. That curtain that they are only allowed to go in once a year. And it wasn't just any priest that was allowed to go in there. It was only the high priest that was allowed to go in there. And in there would have been the Ark of the Covenant, would have been those cherubim placed on top of the ark. And they viewed this in many ways as not just an altar, so not just a table for sacrifices, but they viewed it as the throne of their God. And remember, especially during the time of Moses, when we're talking about the tabernacle, that was not kind of a sort of symbolic thing. That the cloud which led them during the day and the pillar of fire that led them at night came and rested in the most holy place on top of the Ark of the Covenant while he was leading them. It was in many ways literally the throne of God for a time. And as I mentioned, the priests would come into the kind of holy place, the sort of normal, everyday, regular sacrifices place, to do their daily rituals that were laid out for them by Moses. But only once a year did the high priest only get to go in to the holy place. Only once a year, on the Day of Atonement. And in order to do that, in order to enter into the most holy place, to be in the presence of God himself, he had to take blood with him. He had to take blood for himself in order to cover his own sin. And he had to take blood for the people, which was in fact the point of him going in there, was to offer that blood for the people, for the forgiveness of the sins of the people for the last year. So then, if you think about the holy place and the most holy place, the holy place, where you guys are in the pews, served almost as a sort of barrier. It served as a barrier, a buffer, maybe, between the world and the most holy place. Or, perhaps most importantly, between the people and the most holy place. And that was important at the time. And in many ways, those daily rituals that the priests were doing here in the holy place also served as something of a buffer. It was almost an intentional space that was put between God and the people. And the reason for this is really quite simple, because if you approach God in the wrong way, you die. If we, as sinners, try to come to God in a way that he has not ordained for us to come to him, then we will die. Because a sinner cannot stand in the presence of God by himself. But then, Jesus appeared. Then, a new high priest appeared. A high priest of the good things that have come. And then, when he appeared, he, through the greater and more perfect tent, so remember, the Jews thought of their temple, thought of the tabernacle as being kind of a mirror, as an image of the temple that is in heaven. But when Jesus came, when he offered his blood, he did not offer his blood in the temple in Jerusalem. He offered his blood in the temple that was not made with human hands. He offered his blood in that heavenly temple. And by doing so, he entered once for all into the holy places. And he didn't do it with the blood of goats. He didn't do it with the blood of a bull. He did it by means of his own blood. The most precious blood that has ever existed, the blood of God, who was and is perfect, was shed for one single reason: your redemption. He shed his blood. He offered himself in the heavenly temple so that you would be redeemed. He was buying you back. That's what the word redemption means, right? It's when you're buying something back. He was redeeming you from sin, death, and ultimately from the wrath of God himself. This was the entire point of all of the sacrifices that had come before, to prove that if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer could sanctify for the purification of the flesh, that is to say, that if all of this blood could actually forgive sins, at least could actually purify people for the flesh, then just imagine what the blood of God can do. The blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. And his sacrifice does not only purify us for the sake of the flesh, but it purifies our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That is to say, that we recognize that no longer do we have to rely on what we do in order to be saved. The whole point of Jesus coming and dying on the cross was because we couldn't do it ourselves. We had been blemished. We were sinners. Our flesh had been corrupted. But now that Jesus has come, our conscience is clear because he earned forgiveness for us. This is the new covenant that Jesus mediated. This is why he came, so that we who are called may receive the promised inheritance, may receive eternity with him, the forgiveness of our sins. And this was only possible because our great high priest was willing to die to redeem us from the old covenant. So, therefore, I ask you again, don't you just love our great high priest? You are free to trust in your high priest of the good things. He came and he removed all of the obstacles that are between you and God. You no longer have to worry about whether or not it's okay to come up and approach God because of what Jesus has done for you. Because you are covered with the blood of Christ, you can approach him whenever you desire. This is what he did. He offered his own blood in the heavenly temple as a sacrifice for your sin. And he only needed to do this once for all of us. That's how precious his blood is. So what that means now for you is that you are free to live with a purified conscience. No matter what you've done, no matter how often you've done it wrong, no matter who you've sinned against, you are forgiven because of what Christ did for you. You have been called to salvation. You are free to trust in him. You are free to receive the promised eternal inheritance and not feel guilty about it. Because Christ has already paid for your sins. He atoned for all of the things wrong that you have ever done or ever will do. Your sacrifice, the last sacrifice that ever needed to be offered, has been made and has been accepted by your God. You are free to trust in that sacrifice, to trust in the high priest who made of himself a sacrifice for you, to trust in the blood of Christ that covers you. For this is why Christ came, and this is what he does. He saves you through his own blood and through the faith that he creates in you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.